Well, it is a joy to be with you. Am I coming across now? Okay, good. It's a joy to be with you and to have the opportunity to share a little of God's Word. Today's a heavy message. Got a lot of scripture that we're covering. It's in Exodus chapter 7, starting at verse 14, the rest of chapter 7. Chapter 8, chapter 9, and 10. Fasten your seatbelts. We're going to read a lot of scripture, not all of it, but a good chunk of that passage. And then I'm going to expand on it. This is all of the curses that were put on Egypt. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. Joseph took them out of famine area, brought them down to Egypt, and they prospered there and grew and multiplied. And Joseph passed away, and other pharaohs came along that didn't know about Joseph, and they took those nice Israelites and made them slaves. Out of making bricks, and it turned out to be a really rough time in the history of Israel. Well, God raised up Moses, one of the Israelites, who had kind of escaped, and raised him up, called him, sent him back to Egypt to deliver the people of Israel from the Egyptians. And Moses and his brother Aaron went to Pharaoh. And this passage that we're covering, they went in and pronounced that God, if you don't let our people go and worship God, God's going to send you a plague. And this happened for 10 plagues. And we're going to talk about the first 9 today. Aaron's going to follow up on the rest of it and on Passover. But the first plague we find in Exodus chapter 7, if we could get that on the board. Oh, we got it there. Okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water. Stand on the bank of the Nile to meet him and take in your hand the staff that you turned into a serpent. And you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. But so far you have not obeyed. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water in the Nile, and it shall turn to blood. The fish in the Nile shall die, and the Nile will stink, and the Egyptians will grow weary of drinking the water from the Nile. Ah. Well, throughout history, it has been common for the rainwaters in the area where the water comes down to form the Nile River, those little creeks up there flow through red clay. And in the springtime, when there's lots of rain, they soak up a lot of that red clay, and it flows down into the river. And it kills the fish. God directed the timing of that flowing so that this first plague would take place. Well, Pharaoh got his magicians and said, hey, can you guys do that too? And they said, yeah, yeah, we can do that. And they stretch out and they made a curse and the red water continued on flowing. But Pharaoh hardened his heart, the scripture says. Now, the heart that hardened in Pharaoh wasn't his physical, natural heart. It was that core. The heart is the core of our body here and feeds the rest of the body. Well, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the spiritual heart, the emotional heart, that core of our emotions. Have you ever met anybody that's had a hard heart? Oh, yeah. Maybe you've had one too, huh? Well, that hard heart, that build up a wall. I'm going to protect myself. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm going to build up a wall. Well, Pharaoh built up that wall in his heart, and he wasn't going to give in. To let those people go and worship their God, excuse me, to let them go out and worship their God, they were just going to run away. And he wasn't going to let that happen. And worshiping their God, Pharaoh was a god. And people were to worship him, not some other deity out there. There were a lot of gods in Egypt, and it was okay to worship them, but not that Israelite God. So he said, no, they're not going. He hardened his heart. Well, that flooding occurs probably sometime between June and October. We aren't sure exactly what time that happened at that time, but it was sometime there. And when you go through all the plagues, they followed one another, and it took between 6 and 9 months for that to happen. And the Passover, which was in the spring, happened after those plagues took place. So we're starting out at the beginning of that sometime in the summer or fall. So the first plague happened. Pharaoh said, I'm not giving in. No, you're not going. And I'm getting a drink of water because he heard me coughing. Thank you. Excuse me. Yeah, I ought to put a little on that. I'll pick it up again before this is over, believe me. So the second plague was frogs. In Exodus chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Where am I? Okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedrooms and into your bed and into your homes of the servants of your people, and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frog shall come up on you and on your people and all your servants. Well, the frogs escaped that polluted river, and they were probably already diseased because of the bacteria that came down with that red water, excuse me again. And they crawled up on the land and died. And the whole place stunk terribly with dead frogs in the houses and on the land and all over the place. They took them all up and piled them together. Well, Pharaoh said, hey, Can my magicians do that too? And they cursed, and the frogs still kept coming up. But it was a mess. But Pharaoh said, no, you're not going anywhere. So along came plague three, the gnats. Gnats were bugs, and probably it was mosquitoes. In chapter 8, starting at verse 16, then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched over out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on men and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried their secret arts to produce gnats, but they couldn't do it. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord said. Like I said, these gnats were probably mosquitoes. I don't know about you, but I really hate mosquitoes. And the North Country gets a lot of them, right? Oh, boy. Well, they probably birthed out of all those dead frogs and plagued the land. Magicians couldn't produce it, and the people suffered, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he wouldn't let them go. So along came plague number four. And this was swarms of flies. And in chapter 8, starting at verse 20, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people, and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Well, Pharaoh refused, and Moses did so, and the swarm happened. And it says in verse 28, so Pharaoh said, I will let you go sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you must not go very far. Plead for me. Then Moses said, behold, I'm going out for you to plead with the Lord, that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go out to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did as Moses had asked and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from all the people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and did not let the people go. Well, the flies, or some kind of bugs, again, probably birthed by all those dead frogs, God, notice that God set apart Goshen, where the people of Israel were, and they didn't get the swarms. Moses Pharaoh asked Moses to ask God to stop the swarm, and he would let them sacrifice, but only in the land, not 3 days out. Moses said to do it, the land would be an offense to the Egyptians. And Pharaoh said, well, okay, you can go out. And so Moses prayed, the plague stopped. But again, Moses wouldn't let them go. Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And made him stay. So along came another plague. Plague number 5. And this was the death of the cattle or the livestock out in the fields. And in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the fields, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a difference, a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Well, all the livestock of the field died. Again, probably as a result of the previous plagues from the frogs and the insects and God's direct cursing. In the Egyptian theology, many of the gods were gods of the cattle. And so this was clearly a rebuke of Egyptian belief in those kinds of gods. These animals were an essential part of the food and the economy of Egypt. So it literally disrupted the whole nation, sent them into hunger and famine. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. So along comes the next plague. Plague number 6. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of dust, of soot, from the kiln, and let Moses throw them into the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Well, This is the first plague that directly affected the people themselves, the Egyptians. They got sick. And again, it was probably a result of the previous plagues that came out. But the first time, this is the first of the plagues where it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Up to this point, it said Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Here it says God hardened his heart. We're going to talk about this later on in the message. But God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh said, no, you're not going anywhere. So, plague number 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourselves before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself and on your servants and on your people so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up to show my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause very heavy hail to fall on the to fall that has never been in Egypt from the day it was formed until now. Now, therefore, send, get your livestock and all you have in the field into safe shelter, for every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and livestock in the field. Well, large hailstones came down and literally killed people, livestock, messed everything up. Those left in the open died under the large hail. The whole economy now had been ruined. Animals and crops and people and everything was destroyed. But Pharaoh wouldn't move. So along came plague number 8, the locust. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandsons how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourselves before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land so that no one can see the land, and they shall eat what is left to you after the hail, and they shall eat every tree of yours in the that grows in the field, and they shall fill the your houses and the houses of all your servants and all the Egyptians. And neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen. From that day they shall come upon the earth. Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined? All the people were saying, Pharaoh, get your act together. Come on. Let them go worship. What's the big deal? So this other invasion of insects came. They finished off all the plants that were still alive. And Pharaoh says, okay, I'll let you go. If you pray for this to stop. Moses prayed, God stopped, sent the locusts into the Red Sea. And then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He changed his mind and said, no, only the men can go. And next day, God sent Moses back. And the next plague was darkness. Then God said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heavens, that there may be darkness in the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the Lord, toward the heavens. And there was pitch darkness in the land of all Egypt the 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Your little ones also may go with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain. But Moses said, you must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us. Not a hoof should be left behind, for we must take them to serve the Lord our God. And we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. So, at God's direction, Moses called for darkness over the land, except for Goshen. And then Pharaoh said, okay, you can go, but not your livestock. Moses replied that they needed the livestock for the sacrifices. And again, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, I'm going to stop with all the curses. Aaron's going to pick that up. But I'd like to talk about some possible applications for that. God had said, or Pharaoh had said to Moses, get away from me. I don't ever want to see you again. If I see you, I'm going to kill you. I don't want to see your face again. Moses left. Pharaoh's repentance was not realizing that he had done something wrong. But Pharaoh's repentance was about avoiding the consequences of what he was getting. I just don't want to get the suffering anymore. I repent. Don't do it anymore. But every time he repented, he changed his mind. He didn't repent of the wrong he had done. He felt bad about the suffering. There's a difference between that. Forgiveness must be linked with change and transformation. If we want God's forgiveness, we've got to be ready to change. He calls us to repent. That means letting go of that stuff and living a different life. It isn't just, okay, I'm going to go to church Sunday, and every Sunday I'll go and confess my sins, get them forgiven, and then I can go back sin for another week. That's not how it works. That's not what real repentance is about. It's about saying, I need to change. I want you to forgive me, and I want to be different. Now, it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It isn't that God took 5 cc's of hardness and injected it in Pharaoh's heart and made it, oh. Rather, it was by God giving him directions that he knew Moses wouldn't be willing to keep. Moses believed he was a god. And he wasn't ready to give in to this other god of all those slaves. They were his slaves. He was God. But he wasn't willing to give in to the real God. He wanted to escape the suffering, to keep his possessions, his selfishness. Well, God used Moses to deliver the people of Israel from that bondage into a promised land. Likewise, God sent his son, Jesus, to deliver us from sin and take us into glory. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Just as Moses was there to take the children of Israel from this bondage of Egypt into the promised land, Jesus Christ came to set us free from sin and take us into fellowship with God. That's what it's about. So this picture of all those plagues, all that suffering, the slavery that the Israelites were in, the bondage they were in, is a foretaste and a picture of our deliverance from sin. Jesus came to set us free, to deliver us. Jesus again, John chapter 8, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And when we come to Christ, he sets us free. God sets us free from sin. He forgives us. When we come to Christ, we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I blew it. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me eternal life. He sends the Holy Spirit in us to make us a new person. We are born again. We receive God's nature and God's love. But that flesh is still there. It's still crying out, hey, do this. Yum, yum. The lust of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you to be tempted above your ability, but will with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God doesn't remove temptation, but he gives us the power and the avenue to resist and escape temptation. He sets us free. He sets us free in our hearts and guides us in our circumstances. That's why when we become a Christian, we need to change our behavior and we need to change our community. Who do we spend our time with? If you spend all your time still going to the bar, you're going to drink Coke, but not alcohol, well, that's not going to work. You need to quit going to the bar. Start going to church. Start having fellowship. Build a community of believers. Church needs to be more than just coming on Sunday morning and listening to a bald-headed, bearded old preacher, or even one with hair on his head. Church is community. It's people. You need to connect with one another. And not just on Sunday, but like a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Or just a telephone call. Getting together. You need to not just listen to sermons about the Word of God. You need to read the Bible. A chapter a day keeps the devil away. Not really, but it helps. And four chapters a day will get you through the Bible in a year. Read the Word, pray, have fellowship with one another, connect with one another. And that will empower you and help you in resisting the temptations of the flesh and having a transformed life. It says in Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You need to no longer say, okay, God, I want you to help me get all the stuff done I want to do. You need to say, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to be the real Lord of my life. I'm ready to follow you. God took Israel out of Egypt, and God will take us out of sin. Will you follow him? Will you obey him? I'd like the worship team to come forward. As they're coming, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who sets your people free. Thank you that you offer us the path of freedom, that we can have changed lives. Help us to walk down that path. Lay hold of your grace and power in our lives. We just commit ourselves to you. Pray for your forgiveness, for your empowerment. In Jesus' name.